AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A new study out of the University of Washington says there could be a sharp increase in diabetes worldwide. Here's CBS's Christopher Cruz.
The global study concludes that unless individuals and governments take action, every country in the world will experience increases in the number of diabetes cases in the next 30 years. The researchers say the majority of the cases will be type 2 diabetes, the form of the disease that's linked to obesity and is largely preventable.
The disaster involving that submersible near the wreckage of the Titanic has officials looking at future precautions. CBS's Roxana Saberi has the latest.
Given the loss of life and this huge cost in terms of resources and time spent by the Coast Guard trying to search for the Titan, the U.S., some experts say, could now enact tougher restrictions on submersibles and expeditions like this.
There were no survivors after what officials believe was an implosion of the submersible. Canada's Transportation Safety Board will join in the investigation into the loss of the Titan because the support vessel was registered in Canada. Airlines are facing a deadline to retrofit their planes and avoid potential interference from 5G wireless signals. Are they ready?
The deadline for this 5G rollout is July 1st. And so far, it appears as though it's going to go ahead, even though the airlines have not fully upgraded their fleets yet.
That's tech contributor Ian Schur. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said his country's counteroffensive is going slower than desired. CBS's Ian Lee has this update from Dnipro, Ukraine.
We talked to troops who've been to the front lines. A lot of them say that first line of defense that Russia has, well, that gives away quickly. But the further you go, deeper you go, the more that Russia has been able to put up a stiffer defense. And that's something that they have encountered. They say it's very difficult. And they say it's tough fighting.
Russia knew the counteroffensive was coming and has been able to dig in with tank traps, mines, concrete barriers, and trenches. The five former Memphis police officers charged in the death of Tyre Nichols were in court again today. Their attorney is Blake Ballin.
This is stressful for everyone. It's stressful for the Nichols family. It's stressful for the defendants and their families. It's stressful for the lawyers. So we are all just looking forward to moving in the direction of resolving this.
The officers face second-degree murder and other charges. A well-known investor continues to make good on his pledges.
Renowned investor Warren Buffett has now given annual donations of nearly $51 billion over the past 17 years. He has given nearly $40 billion to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He announced his first pledge in 2006, becoming the biggest donor in history.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Red, white, and Deuce savings are heating up at the Home Depot. Get great savings that are worth celebrating. And by celebrating, we mean grilling. Get a Dynaglow 4-burner gas grill now on special buy for $199 at the Home Depot. It's versatile, easy to use, and includes digital pro controller technology for precise temperature control, making it your go-to grill for all those summer celebrations. Get more done during Red, White, and Deuce savings with a Dynaglow 4-burner gas grill for just $199 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in two ways, Gingras Thompson and Watts, GTWLawyers.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, June 26th. In Wood County, the Residential Options Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will hold their meeting at 1:30 in the community room of the Huntington House Apartments. They will hear the executive director's report regarding public housing occupancy, Section 8 program status, and the Capital Funds Program grant status, among other items. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Board of Directors will meet at 6:30 at the fair office in Marshfield. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Historic Preservation Design Review Commission will meet at 5 in the community room on Michigan Avenue. They will consider a request for a design review to make improvements to the storefront facade at 1008 Main Street. They will also discuss submitting the property located at 1300 Maria Drive to the National Register of Historic Places. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 63. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 90. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 63. Cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 89.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 23rd, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in Craig Broren, along with Steve Hepp from Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Looking forward to talking with both of them. Right now, we have our great friend, Kim Inda, resource specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
How have you been?
I'm doing okay, enjoying all this warm summer weather. Mm-hmm. It's been wonderful.
Getting outside as much as possible. Are you doing that too?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Like I will look for any. I've already checked the mail, but I go out and check it again just so I can get outside.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
We're here to talk about a couple of different things with the ADRC. And just first off, Kim, thank you to you and your team over there. You guys do such great work in this community. We greatly appreciate you. And we're going to talk about some of that work now. But a big thank you to all of you guys.
Thank you.
When it comes to happenings over there, first thing I think of is the senior farmers market.
Yeah.
That's the first thing pops in my mind. Is that where you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And this is a opportunity that happens every summer. We have farmer market vouchers where seniors who are eligible, either 60 years or older or 55 and Native American, can receive farmers market vouchers from our agency. It's $35 of tickets that you can get, and then you can take them to the local farmers market to get fresh fruits and veggies or herbs. And it doesn't even have to be in Rapids here. It can be throughout the state of Wisconsin. This is a program that goes on throughout the state. But you just take it to the farmers market, go to a vendor that takes the vouchers, and then they will give you, choose your produce, obviously, that you want, and then they will use that as their cash for or payment for the produce that you're getting. So it's a wonderful thing.
You guys have done a really good job informing our community, keeping things like this out there, and so that so many people know about them. And you've also done a really good job of making me think like I work there. Because I look at a lot of these things, and I think I look at it like you guys would, where the first thing I think of is, oh, the nutrition value. Yes. It's really important when we're real little, and it's very important when we're older. It's certainly important our whole lives. But
absolutely. And with the cost of fresh fruits and vegetables, it's so hard when you're on a fixed income to be able to get those products. And so it's great that we're able to offer that to our community to be able to get some of those fresh fruits and vegetables. And this program goes on through the whole summer. So if you're a squash pumpkin person in the fall, apples, you can hang on to them till then. Or strawberries are here. So if you want to get your fresh strawberries or fresh tomatoes soon to make salsa or whatever, you know, you can get it throughout the whole summer.
There is something about the strawberries this year. I don't know what it is, but they taste just extra strawberry. I don't know. They're very good. I think of those things and what you mentioned right there, very important, all of that. But there was something that came to mind from a listener that I talked to, I think the last time you guys joined us and this first came up. And that was, well, I just love having something to do. And I felt so bad, and I realized, oh, man, as much as I think I keep informed and I know, there's stuff that you just don't know unless you're talking to somebody or you're there physically. And that was just as important to her as the nutrition value. Mm-hmm. And I completely got it. As soon as she said it, the look on her face and everything, I was like, oh, yeah, I get this now. Yeah. I understand that that's just as much of a fun part of this, giving people something to do and everything, as much as the nutritional value and certainly the economic impact it can make and how it can help so much.
Yeah.
It's a great program. Mm-hmm. And how long does the program last?
It goes till the end of October.
Right.
So, and we have a certain amount of vouchers. I think last time I checked, we still have about 800. So we've got plenty out there. We just need to get the word out so that people will utilize them.
Mm-hmm. And spread the word about this. You
absolutely.
Know? You know people out there that it could apply to. You know that people could be benefited by it. Please do spread the word about this. You can find out this and the other things that Kim and I are going to be talking about. You can play along at home going to adrc-cw.org. You'll find all the information there at adrc-cw.org. Kim, if you don't mind, I like to do this when we have you guys. It feels like every other time you join us, especially now that we're in a new time slot. We've got different listeners and some newer people joining us, and we say good afternoon to all of them. Let's talk about what is the Aging and Disability Resource Center.
So there's an Aging and Disability Resource Center in every county within the state. So this is a state program that looks at getting local resources out to our community and being able to be the first point of contact for community resources and supports for our seniors as well as our disabled population. So we're here to answer those questions, simple questions like, where are the local housing? I'm looking to downsize and move into an apartment. To more complicated things like, I'm a caregiver for my family member and I'm not sure what to do. Mm-hmm. And where do I start with getting some extra help and support? Mm-hmm. So it's really the full gamut of being available to supply those resources to our community.
Yeah, and I think touching on what you were saying before too, even just simply getting that information out there. There's so many things that you hit retirement and you get a pamphlet or you get some things in the mail, you know, from Social Security or something.
Right.
There's a number of things like that, but then there's all kinds of stuff out there like. You got to do the homework yourself. You got to do the heavy lifting yourself to find out the information. It's really nice to kind of build a bridge between that and where you guys are and like, hey, we're here. Hey, look at us. You know, we've got that information right here for you.
Yeah. Simple things like not sure if this is real or not or scam with Medicare coverage or, and again, things are going to be changing for me in the next 6 months. What do I do to prepare for that major change or lifestyle change? And we're here again to be that problem solving person, even sounding board, just to bounce ideas off and be that neutral person to say, hey, you're doing okay. You're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to tweak this or that. So
my mom and dad recently, my dad a little bit earlier than my mom, but they're both now officially retired.
Sure.
And going into that even was she had all this set up. My mom's a planner. My mom thinks these things through, does her homework, all of that. And even she was a little kind of like, okay, now I'm retired. Now what? Like, oh, wait a minute, I got to do this, this, and this, and I got to make sure that my last name is the same on my Social Security so I can get the checks. And it was just a lot of, like, gray area and a lot of layers to something that she was kind of, she thought, or at least the information she had received early on, it seemed very simple.
Yeah.
She was able to reach out to DARC. They were very helpful for her. And one more time where your parents are teaching you stuff even in your 40s, where, like, okay, I'm not letting that happen to me. I'm learning from her.
Right.
I'm learning from this.
Right.
It's a wonderful resource. And as Kim touched on, there is one near you wherever you're listening to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you serve? You touched on this a little bit, but, I just mentioned I'm 46. So is it people like myself? Is it people older?
It's everybody, in my opinion.
Oh, well,
because everybody fits
nicely
the
done.
Bill,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
We start our services when you look at the number or age. Geographic is at 17 years and a half. We work with students with disabilities in transitioning from high school into the adult world. So when you look at school being such a big part of those kiddos' lives for so many years, and then talking with families about, okay, now what? 8 hours you're in school, 10 hours you're in school every day. The teachers do a great job of teaching you and molding you, so to speak. But then what happens? What do you do with those 8 hours when school's done? Especially if maybe you're not the traditional person that's ready for college or next steps that way. It's looking at what are those resources for supported employment, resources for independent living skills, apartment settings, all of that sort of stuff for our younger kiddos. And then also we look at, again, the gamut, so to speak, with somebody like your age, James, caregiving. Mm-hmm. You're looking at those caregiving resources for your parents as you age, and how do I cope and deal with that transition of my parents getting older and maybe needing some additional help and support, or what's going on medically with them? And so we see younger people who are usually children, relatives of a person that's needing more help and support. And then, again, we go through the seniors. Mm-hmm. So looking at that transition from retirement, Social Security benefits, all of that sort of stuff. And then as you're aging, help and support with bringing caregivers in the home, then maybe transition to assisted living and what all that looks like. And then, again, maybe nursing home. Again, depending upon what your medical care needs are and what supports and services you have out there. So really, it's mostly the adult lifespan.
Yeah. Great answer right away, everybody. Yeah. It was just, and I hadn't really thought about it before, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. And I think that's important just in general, but I think it's very important when we think of people who are younger and may not realize, oh, well, it's aging and disability. They probably couldn't help me. I'm a teenager or something like that, and it's not the case. Yeah. If you are any age, you should reach out to the ADRC. And certainly the worst that can happen is, oh, we can't help you, but we can send you in the right direction or something like that.
Absolutely.
It never hurts to reach out. There's no harm in that.
Absolutely.
And I'm really glad you brought that up about the caregiving aspect, because I and that really made fun of my dad, but we like to razz each other as guys do. And I razzed him for a while because he didn't realize he was a caregiver for a long time. He was taking care of my Nana and then helped take care of my Papa for quite a while, and I gave him a hard time about this or whatever. So maybe a couple months back, around Christmas, I think it was actually, we had you guys in and we talked, and he listened to the interview. And I get there over to his house to go check in on him and everything and see how he's doing and stuff. And he's laughing at me. I'm like, what? He's like, you did it too. And he's pointing at me and everything, like the Spider-Man meme or something. He's like, you don't realize what you are. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're a caregiver. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And I never really thought of myself that way. It's my dad. Yeah. I'm just hanging out with my dad. I'm just, helping him out. It's so important to be able to look inward on this one, because as we've touched on this many times with caregiving, you take care of your backyard, you can take care of theirs. You've got to take care of yours first, though.
Absolutely.
You're no good to anybody if you don't. This is something I learned from you guys. I appreciate it very much, and I'm very thankful for. And I know I'm not the only one that did. But it also speaks to what you, in particular, your jobs over there, why you're so good at them, and why we have multiple people on from time to time. As much as we'd love to talk to you all the time, Kim, it's good to have the other people on. And also, not only having them on, but giving the audience an idea of, oh, this is something else they do, by bringing a specialist on like yourself, Kim, into resource specialist or any of the other great staff you have over there. Can we get into that a little bit? Sure. I don't think we get to do that very often, the staff roles at the EDRC.
Sure. So we'll start with my role since I'm here, and this is what I do every
day. Seems like a good place to start.
But, we have two major areas as a resource specialist. One area is that we take phone calls. So between 8 and 4:30 every day, Monday through Friday, we are answering phone calls. So initially, as people call in, the simple questions like housing or where do I get local food if I'm struggling with finding food, that sort of stuff. We can answer those simple questions over the phone. It may be a phone number. It may be an address that we're giving out to people, just to find those local resources and community supports to meet that initial need. But then we also can answer more complicated questions like, again, I'm looking at long-term care services or I need more formal supports for my loved one in the home. Where do we go about doing that, and how do we find those resources and supports in the community? We have a great resource directory online, as well as in paper if you want one, that has all those community supports and resources in there, agencies that can help you with that. So again, sometimes it's setting up appointments either in the home or the office too, where we go out and talk about those local resources and kind of set up what we call not a formal care plan, but again, getting organized with how do we move forward? What do we need to make this be a successful thing? One of my taglines always is, it takes a village.
Yeah.
It takes a village to take care of a senior. It takes a village to take care of a child. It takes a village to take care of all of us. Mm-hmm. And so how can we do that and be able to maintain that independence, those goals, those things that are important to that loved one as well?
I really love that line. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And we're stronger together. We just
Absolutely.
are. What about benefits specialists? How about that?
Yeah, so another area that we have is we have benefit specialists. We have two forms of benefit specialists. We have one who is an elder benefit specialist that works with people who are 60 and older. So kind of like what James was referring to earlier with his parents and his mom, that would be the person that we would see as an elder benefit specialist, new to Social Security, new to Medicare benefits. What insurance coverage do I need related to that transition from working to now receiving those government benefits and funding? So
I think one of the trickier things as you get older is that is understanding what benefits are available to you and even knowing that they are available to you. So much has been left to, oh, it's just common knowledge. Oh, everybody knows this. Yeah. Everybody knows that. And that's not, I'm not picking on anybody. That just has happened in time. It's we really lean on agencies like yourselves and everything to inform people. And that's a lot on your plate. So we can help with that a little bit, spread the word about these things. If you know somebody who's getting close to these ages, reach out to the ADRC or encourage them to.
Yeah, absolutely. And just even navigating, because private insurance companies will send you lots of mail, lots of emails regarding this because they know that you're getting closer to that age. And how do you filter through all of it? And how do you know what's going to work for your situation? Because everybody's situation is different. And so that's where, again, we can be that neutral person to be able to kind of filter through and say, okay, this is what works for you today. In a year, let's reevaluate, come back and see us, that sort of thing. So
I'm one of these weirdos. I've been enjoying getting older. I don't mind it. And as much as I don't like the aches and pains in some of these things, you know, one of the things I have enjoyed is it seems like the older I get, less drama. Or maybe I'm better at just, you know, dealing keeping away from it or dealing with it or what have you. But as you get older, that's the way life is kind of built. You're supposed to have more relaxation. You're supposed to, as you get closer to retirement, be able to enjoy your life more. Yeah. You worked hard. You've earned it. Understanding the benefits that are available to you is part of that, part of what you've earned. Oftentimes, like Social Security, this is something that you've put into your whole life. You earn that money. You deserve that. Yeah. It's something we pay taxes for, et cetera, et cetera. So understanding that stuff is that at the very least you're given right, let alone something that I think everybody would just find interesting, too.
Right.
And as I mentioned with my mom and dad, you never stop teaching as a parent. Mm-hmm. And even in my age and their age, I still learn from them. And this is something you can learn. You can be like, well, OK, I guess I should look into this when I get to be that age.
What
about the caregiving support? It touched on this a little bit.
Yeah. So just to take back to first, people that are younger, we do have a disability benefit specialist that works with younger folks. So if you, again, a car accident, something happens where you get an illness and you can't work anymore, we can help navigate through those disability benefits as well. Just like with seniors, that is a whole complicated system with Social Security and applying for those disability benefits. So they're out there as well to help with that. And then transitioning to the caregiving role and caregiving support, we have staff that are set up specifically to work with caregivers and loved ones who have dementia, Alzheimer's, as well as just general chronic conditions, and looking at what support is out there to help with educating people, educating our community. We have dementia care specialists that educate our community as well as individual families on what does dementia and Alzheimer's look like. That disease is specialized in with respect to the different behaviors that can come from it, the different caregiving needs that are associated with it. And so it's important to be able to be educated so you know how to work with your loved one to be able to do the best that you can for him. Mm-hmm. And in general, as a community, to be aware that there might be people out there that do have memory deficits, whether it be because of a traumatic brain injury or, again, they have dementia or Alzheimer's, and to be cognizant of that and just be a little bit forgiving, you know, and have grace, I guess, with respect to how others are dealing with their situation in that moment.
It's one of the toughest things that anybody will ever go through. And I'm only talking about the people that are going through it with the person actually physically going through it. I can't put myself in the shoes of the person going through it. I can only empathize with that and feel for it.
Right.
But I know what it's like to be a love someone someone that's going through this and the difficulty of that. I don't wish it on anybody, but it statistically is going to happen to a number of people out there.
Absolutely.
Being that much on point with these things, there's no way to really necessarily prepare for something like this, but the little bit, the more you feel, the more confident you are going to feel for them, for the person struggling with this. That's where your focus kind of has to go, is giving them comfort, giving them some grace and some ease in their life, whatever is coming forward, whatever is going on. The more informed you are about something like this, the better you're going to be for that person and for yourself, really.
Right. And that's where, you know, again, seeking us out with support groups, with educational opportunities, how to care for a caregiver, you know, making that network of connections of other people that are in your situation or similar situation, so you can just bounce ideas off of each other, go out and have a coffee and make those connections so that you can continue to go on. Because, again, like we said earlier, if you can't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to help your loved one.
You guys have a number of different programs available. I'd like to touch on those before we wrap up, if you don't mind, Kim.
Sure.
There's a nutrition program that you all have that I think is very great.
Yeah. So quickly, since we're wrapping up, we have two nutrition programs. One is congregate dining. So for people who are, again, 60 years and older, who are interested in having a community type meal, we have two locations, one at the Centralia Center, over by the Senior Center in the old Walmart building, as I always refer to it, the locals.
Yep.
And then at the Huntington House apartment complex. And those are open to anyone in the community that wants to participate. We just ask that you call ahead of time so we have enough food for everybody and make sure that the food is there. But everybody is more than welcome to come and gather to join that meal. There's a suggested contribution. It's give what you can, though. So again, it's supplemented with government funding. And we're out there to support the community and make those connections, again, that outlet of meeting others and gathering in a safe place. So that's really nice.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful service to be able to offer. We talk about Meals on Wheels every chance we get. Before we wrap on that, though, there's a loan closet. I don't know if I've gotten to hear much about that. Do you mind if we touch on that real quick?
Yeah. So the loan closet is a program that we have through our office, and it's free. And we have simple loan equipment that people can loan out for 6 months or less just to try. So, like, if you're not sure, okay, is a four-wheeled walker going to work for me, or a regular traditional walker with two wheels, you can come and loan one of those pieces of equipment out, give it a shot or give it a try before you go out and purchase it.
Very cool.
Or some people who might need both a wheelchair for longer distances, but also the walker, insurance doesn't cover both.
Yeah.
And so that way, then you could get one or the other through our office to be able to make a go of it.
I just went through this with my dad. He was using a cane. It just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So he needed a walker. And we found out that insurance didn't cover that. We were blown away by that and stuff. And that's very cool program.
Yeah.
We understand how hard sometimes these things can be to pull off. They shouldn't be, but they can be.
Mm-hmm.
To have something like that to offer to people, that's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and we have other things in there too, like grab bars and shower chairs and those sorts of things. Mm. Again, just to try the equipment out before you buy it, because most medical companies, because it is a personal care item, they will not let you return them.
Yeah.
And so it gets really expensive and costly when you're buying equipment because you think it's going to work and then it doesn't. So, again, that try before you buy sort of thing is what we're doing there. So
That is a really, really great program. What a wonderful idea. I wanted to wrap up with Meals on Wheels.
Sure. So our home delivered meals program for people who can't get out and about is designated for people who are considered homebound, which means that you'd maybe be going out for church services, some light grocery shopping, your medical appointments, but that's about it. And that service is potentially a hot meal Monday through Friday, just to bring that noon meal out to you. Again, it's a good quality nutrition. It's got meat, potato, vegetable, bread, milk, and a dessert. So it's a full meal that some people use for two. Others will use it as their main meal. But to get some good nutrition and get some good food that's warm on a daily basis. So.
It serves as also a checkup. It serves as a way to keep an eye on one of our most important parts of our population. And to also just for those of us, you know, delivering meals, it's this great moment in time where you get to talk to somebody that you may never talk to otherwise and have these wonderful interactions with. And for them, it's them getting an interaction with somebody and them touching base with somebody and
absolutely
just being able to have a conversation. The meal is first and foremost certainly important, but these other things, it's 1A, 1B. It's right there with each other.
Yeah.
And there are a few things that I put my name on in this world because I just, everything's such a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. This one, I wholeheartedly put my name on this. If you have never volunteered for Meals on Wheels, if it's been a while since you've done it, do it. Give it a shot. They will work with you. Whatever your schedule is, as crazy as it might seem, they will work with you. And there are a few things in life that are more beneficial and feel good than doing something like this.
Yeah. And the time commitment is really small in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
It's an hour or two. Again, you can pick a day a week or a couple days a month and just commit to that and then come out. And again, we hear from our volunteers, it's rewarding both directions.
It really is.
In that they're presenting a meal to somebody who's grateful for that meal. And again, that double check and connections of, hi, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
And that smile.
It is a true win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's a win every time you're in with us, Kim. Thank you so much for the time. Really do appreciate
you. Sure, no problem.
If you'd like to find out more about the conversation Kim and I just had, go to adrc/cw.org. That's adrc/cw.org. Or you can give them a call at 1-888-486-9545. 1-888-486-9545. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. The Central Wisconsin High School Trap Team Booster Club is hosting a brat fry that starts today and runs all weekend. 11 trap team members from surrounding area high schools are headed to the USA High School Clay Target League Nationals in Mason, Michigan in July. The brat fry is at 998 Ranger Road in Wisconsin Rapids, today 11 to 5, Saturday 9 to 5, and Sunday 9 to 3. You can ride the city bus for free in Stevens Point, June 26th through the 30th, including rides to the U.S. Senior Open. There will be a free transit route from the UWSP Lot Q to the golf event from June 27th through July 2nd from 6:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Visit the city page to download the bus tracking app. The Raptors are playing at home tonight. They're looking to beat the Dock Spiders again in the second game of the series. First pitch at Witter Field at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 63. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 90. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 63. Cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 89.
Welcome back to Midday Magazine for June 23rd, 2023, here at WFHR. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, at 3:30, and I'm welcoming in some great people to talk to. One of our favorites, Craig Broren, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent. Craig, always good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here. And you brought a friend with. We have Steve Hepp, Public Services. Steve, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Steve, I don't believe we've been able to talk before. Have you been in before?
I have not.
I didn't think so. Every once in a while, I'm not familiar with some people. Have we talked? Oh, we have. We've talked before, and I feel horrible because I don't remember somebody, but I didn't think so. Steve, if you don't mind, I want to talk free meals with you guys. I have a couple of other questions I want to get to, but I think a great place to start is, what is People's Services? What is it that you do over there exactly, specifically?
Right. So the People's Service Department represents a variety of student support programs focused on success for all students. Our mission is to remove barriers by providing a comprehensive program that attends to the needs of all of our students. Our goal is to promote a commitment to lifelong learning, personal and academic growth, social emotional health, and to aid students in becoming responsible and productive members of society. We want all students to be college, career, and community ready upon graduation. The Pupil Service Department is pretty much broken into two parts. We have the special education part and the overall pupil service part. So the special education portion of it is a pretty large portion of our department. So we're looking at staffing in that area. We're looking at our school psychs, our special education teachers, our speech and language teachers, our occupational therapists, our adaptive FIED teachers, our special education paraeducators. We also contract with CESA 5 when it comes to services such as audiology, deaf and hard and hearing, vision, physical therapy, some of our alternative programming. With our programming starts our birth to three, so we're looking at our youngest student or youngest kiddos in the community, mm-hmm. all the way up to our Project Search students over at the hospital, Aspires mm-hmm. Hospital. We have a great partnership with them. So we're looking at around 200 special education staff. That includes our professional staff and our paraeducators, our support staff. Mm-hmm. And with all that staffing is large because of the needs in our community. Right now we have over 800, almost 850 students that are identified with special needs. That's approximately almost 18% of our population, which is pretty large compared to the state average. State average is about 14.5%. So our percentage of special ed students has increased in the past few years. I think we've been above the state average looking at some of our data. Recently, we've been above the state average ever since like the 2010-2011 school year. Okay. So our population keeps growing. State average has continued to be around the 14.5%, rises slightly, but we've been increasing quite a bit.
Interesting.
So then also with that, so those students are students that have special needs that receive IEPs, but we also have students that are identified as having disabilities, but don't need special ed services, and those students are what's called have 504 plans. And we approximately have about 120 students that are serviced with 504 plans. We have roughly about 20% of our population of our students receive some sort of service for their disabilities. So that's kind of a broad for the special ed portion, and our pupil service portion is, again, their school psychs kind of play that dual role of special ed and pupil services. We have our English language learning teachers, we have our school counselors, our school social workers, our school nurses, our homeless liaison, our social emotional learning coordinator, our Title VI was our Native American coordinator, our behavior coaches. So we have roughly about 50 staff members in that area as well.
Okay. So you have a pretty easy job, Steve. Everything but that. Man, that is a lot. Going to school out here, I know some of those things. I think that maybe not the stats of them, but I know going to school with kids and such. I don't think it's really until this moment I realized how much our population has of that and how vital this is. Why you have a big team like you do over there. What are some of the bigger challenges you face with this position or with this in this field?
Well, I think the ever-changing needs of the students, you know, there's no cookie cutter, like this is what works for everybody. So really trying to be conscious of what our population needs overall and what those individual needs are for our students. I think that's a big one. And then finding staffing that can do it. I mean, I think there's less and less people that are going into the professions. So I think it's more and more difficult to find people that want to go in and want to stay in the profession. That's kind of hard.
How long have you been in this position here in Rapids?
So I started in Rapids in 2000 as a special education teacher at the high school. And then I moved into administration so in the 2018-19 school year. So I've been in administration for the past 5 years. This is just finishing up my second year as the director. I was assistant director for 3 years prior.
Okay. Thank you for that. And thank you for working so hard for our community and everything. I appreciate that, Steve. I am curious, and this question is probably going to be coming up for at least another 5 years, but pandemic happens. How did things change? What different challenges did you face with that? Because I think we understand mostly how students were affected, but these particular types of students, how they were affected, I think that's important information we didn't really cover very much during that time.
Great. You know, just being out of school, I think we did our best to try and meet students' needs. Mm-hmm. However, I think, you know, there's some obviously some things that we couldn't do.
Yeah.
And I think it's taken some time to kind of catch up with those lapses.
One of the things that I've admired so much about the public schools, certainly ours here locally, but just in general, countrywide, nationwide, I would say, is that taking this situation, and this is what educators do. This is their wheelhouse. Have this tragedy, have this horrible thing happen like a pandemic. And instead of kind of coming out of it like, oh, we made it, phew, it's what did we learn? How can we grow? How can we make things better for these kids afterwards? And so when it comes to after and what we've taken from this lesson, if you will, how have things grown or changed with your program, with things over there?
Absolutely. So a couple things. I think one is some of the services we're providing, we've kind of figured out there are different ways of providing services, like through virtual programs, and mm-hmm. there's different software things out there, different technologies that we can kind of use to provide those things. We also kind of looked at those mental health needs that maybe were on our thought, but maybe not at the forefront when we first got into this. So we've really focused on some different areas the last few years, and a couple of things that we've kind of focused on has been our Gagel therapy program that we've contracted with. Gagel therapy is a virtual program that allows students to receive services through a counselor or some sort of coach on their own time, or if we can, older students can carve out some time during the school day, let's say if they have study hall or something like that, to kind of meet with that person virtually. So I think that's been a great way to meet some needs. Some other needs, we had a mental health navigator through the Aspires Hospital. We also recently contracted with Care Solace to kind of be that warm handoff between the family from the school district to different service providers in the community. So trying to find different ways of supporting families in getting the needed services for their kids and for themselves. So the nice thing about Care Solace is it's kind of a program that's supporting the student, the family, teachers. And able to connect them with appropriate services that they're kind of looking for.
These I never get tired of hearing about these bridges that we have in our community. We talk about it with Midstate from time to time about how Midstate works with companies to help kids before they even graduate. Oftentimes they're going right into the workforce. The ODC does a great job with this too. Something like that is such an impactful program, and the impact, I think, certain things like that too. We don't even know the impact it's going to have yet. Like we'll find this out in the years to come how impactful some of these things can be. When it comes to the position, I know that especially when it comes to education, things are always growing and changing. Are there new exciting things? Are there things that are you're adapting to or that you're growing into in this field that you're excited about, that you're looking forward to for the students, for the kids?
Yeah, we're always looking at new and different ways of meeting students' needs.
Yeah.
I think we're very excited about, like I said, Care Solace. We're very excited about our continued work with Gagel. We're excited about our FAST program. Mm-hmm. Our FAST program is our Families and Schools Together program, mm-hmm. which brings families into our buildings. We implemented that last year in two of our elementary buildings. We're going to continue that next year in those two, and then and grow it into two other elementary buildings for the following school year. So we're hoping that continues, and that's been really great. So those things are great. We implemented a new reading program for our elementary special ed students this past school year, which we've seen some really good results. We're hoping that continues. We're really fortunate to have a really good special ed and pupil service staff that are always looking for new and innovative ways. So we have a lot of staff that, you know, that provide professional development within our district or are willing to go and seek, different resources and bring that back and share it. Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Steve, I've really enjoyed talking with you. It's really good to meet you and appreciate you. Is there anything else you might want to bring up to the audience or touch on before we let you go and I put Craig on the spot? I mean, I talked to Craig.
I guess the other thing is, we're always looking for involvement with the community. Mm-hmm. This past year, we implemented what we called donuts and discussions with our parents. So I hope that we can get more parents to come to that. We do that once a month, where we bring in maybe a different agency or we bring in one of our own staff members that present on a topic, answer questions for our parents, because it's, there's a lot of questions out there. I mean, there's so many different nuances when it comes to special education, mm-hmm. And the needs and the different supports and availability of resources in the community. So we like to make sure that parents know that.
Yeah. Always have that. Appreciate you, Steve. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things you've been talking about, is there a way to reach you?
Absolutely. You can reach me, call me, or email me. All my information is on the website.
Okay, and that website, wrps.org, correct? Is that the website you can find? Okay, just making sure. All right. And I'm sure that you Google Steve, you'll be able to find that information as well. Make sure to look at the WRPS.org website. I would think that you can find it there, certainly. Thank you for the time, Steve. Appreciate you. Craig, I actually kind of want to tee off a little bit of where he was going with that a little bit, actually. Because when we're getting together, we don't always have an outline, but I always have questions. And you always do a great job knocking them out of the park. So I think I might have one for you, though, here, because we just, in the last year or so, have had school board, people, new members on the school board, older members, and we've heard a lot of talk about school boards nowadays, more than I think we've ever heard in our lives, people talking about school boards. I think a big part of that is because of certainly people wanting to, I'm leaning on the positive side of here. There's a lot of reasons why people are doing this. I'm just focusing on the positive, in my opinion, the positive. And people wanting to make an impact, wanting to do some good, or wanting to help in ways that they can. We see a lot of parents who are currently have kids in school doing this. But I think we're seeing just as much parents or the kids aren't in school anymore and wanting to help and make an impact. But there are other ways that you can impact and that you can help our schools, help our teachers, be informed about what's going on in our schools. But I don't think we get a chance to touch on that very much. A lot of people feel like, well, I'm on the school board or that's it. Do you have suggestions? Do you have things that you would suggest to parents out there, you as a parent, what you've done in the past, like ways that you can do this where we're showing kids what it's like to have two adults have a conversation. It is not just two dogs barking.
Excuse me. That's an excellent question. So multifaceted in terms of a response, right? Yeah, so yeah. If you have kids in school, frankly, the opportunities to get engaged and involved are pretty easy and mm-hmm. evident. And you have to kind of make a concerted choice to not, right? Mm-hmm. As much as you do to make a concerted choice to be involved. So the days of people coming and going from schools, during school hours, as it used to be, even walking your kid to a classroom and, showing up and like, oh, I just need to, I mean, clearly, if you show up to school and you need to talk to your kid, we allow that. But it's not the same as it used to be due to security and the expectation of the community and of our students and parents that we have a pretty good degree of control over visiting a building. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, is that really the only way that you are engaged in school? And the answer to that question is an adamant no. Yeah. Clearly, if there's a planned circumstance, whether it be volunteering, right? You want to help in classrooms. That happens in all of our school buildings. Mm-hmm. I think less so at the middle and high school level for obvious reasons, but nonetheless, there are options for that sort of involvement. There's some paperwork, background check you have to go through, and then, of course, identify what specific things you might like to be engaged in. We look at doing outreach to the community in terms of, career development or those sorts of opportunities. And this community is amazing. Yeah. In terms of any time we host something along those lines, like at Lincoln, it's escaping me what we call it, but it's basically like a career exploration day at Lincoln, and it's wild.
Yeah.
The amount of businesses and individuals that show up, former alumni, mm-hmm. it's great. And so it's things along those lines. But if you're talking about now you don't have kids in school and you really want to know what's going on, then frankly, you've got to take some steps to inform yourself, right? And that's true with just about anything. So I think the easiest way to do, well, you can do that in any number of ways. If it's more passive, you want to evaluate social media, what the district has out on Facebook, Twitter, and those sorts of social media accounts. Check the district website. That's always kept up to date with relevant information. Certainly, I'm open to phone calls or emails with questions that, you know, are relevant. I'm involved and engaged in a number of community groups, and am also, since I have kids, am around community events quite frequently and not averse to answering questions from anybody. But ultimately, when it comes down to, you know, what's your goal? Are you ultimately looking to be supportive and legitimately make change for a positive to the school district? Or is your goal just to point fingers and disparage? And frankly, if it's the latter, don't bother.
Yeah,
what's the point?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've never seen an entity improve because they are being disparaged, right?
Yes.
And particularly from individuals with zero involvement in the community and zero involvement in the school district, who stand in judgment of everything is going wrong and everything is being done wrong. That's a bit on the frustrating side, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
But if you have people that are engaged, and frankly, with the number of things that I'm involved in, that includes people that are, you know, business owners, business leaders, community members that have kids, community members that don't have kids, young people, older people, and pretty much cuts through the spectrum of what we have in the community. And any time that we have an opportunity to have a rational conversation is a great time, right? Because most of what I think we're engaged in is what the majority of our community want us engaged in. And it's interesting questioning that you raise now, particularly with People Services being part of this broadcast, because when you hear People Services, you think of, oh, that's for the kids that have problems. Mm. And frankly, it's not, right? Mm-hmm. It's for those kids that have issues, special education, mental health issues, or whatever the various things may be. Mm-hmm. But also there's services that are provided from People Services for all of our kids. My kids, you know, your kids, any kids that attend our school. And that is one of the foundational premises and the beauties of public education, right? It doesn't change. What you have access to doesn't change because you identify in a certain manner or you, you know, are a certain color or of a certain intellect, right? And that the goal is to provide services such that that playing field is leveled to the degree it can be. Ultimately, and as Steve mentioned previously, to have people graduate from Lincoln High School or River Cities High School prepared to be a contributing member of society. And frankly, all of the other indicators that we talk about and we want to point fingers to, because another piece that you raised, which again is an excellent corollary, and you're going to get more than you bargained for because you always do with me.
Yes, I always love it.
Is this idea around the pandemic and its impact on test scores. Now, as a school superintendent, as a person that's been involved in education for over two decades, I'm not going to sit here and say we're fine with poor test scores. No one would say that. Mm-hmm. But on the same hand, if someone were to tell me or ask me point blank, would you rather graduate decent human beings from your high school or human beings that reached a certain threshold on a test? It's the former. Yeah. Clearly, mm-hmm. we want decent human beings. We want people that are rational, reasonable, want to engage, want to bring something positive to the community. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care once you're done with high school what you got on the ACT or what you did on the Wisconsin State Assessment in the mm-hmm. eighth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's also understanding that it would be horrendous for us to turn a blind eye to that.
Right.
Right? So you have to use that data to determine whether or not what you're doing is actually being effective. And when you find that it may not be, where it's incumbent upon us to make some modifications to address that. And clearly, that is the goal and role mm-hmm. of our staff, because foundationally, that is why we're here.
Right.
All of these other things are secondary to providing kids a quality education. And so I don't mean to say that that's not the focus. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
But that emphasis, particularly in light of the pandemic, when you see nationwide trends, right, mm-hmm. nationwide declines. Now, I don't know anyone in education that's fine with that. It's like, oh, yeah, no big deal. Mm. But on the same hand, that intense focus and then pointing that to some kind of circumstance locally that is a major catastrophe is a false narrative.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. But the idea now where it would make sense is if there was evidence where the district, and I'm not aware of any doing this, but it would make sense where the district was like, you know what? No, we're fine with it. We're not changing a thing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and to hell with whether or not our kids achieve on a test. That's not happening, right? And then I circle back to what the whole point of the diatribe is, which is being a meaningful contributor to the community. And frankly, here in the Rapids area, the vast majority of this community is incredibly supportive, want to see awesome things happen, know how to make awesome things happen, recognize that pointing fingers and just talking about how the city does it wrong or the school district does it wrong or it's this person's fault or that person's fault, it's more articulated in, you know, here are our circumstances, what can we do collaboratively to make that improve, and what are things we can engage in? And as a result, that being the focus for me in particular, we've seen some pretty awesome things transpire.
I have relatives and friends that are in the military, and I was talking to my cousin. He's a translator. He's been in serving our country for over 20 years. I'm very proud of him. But we were having an interesting conversation the other day because he was telling me how our military has changed in some ways. Where back in when he first started, you know how it was very you know, it was motivating by, you know, insulting or a lot of these kind of things and trying to get you out of the dirt by calling you dirt, you know, and that kind of stuff. And it's grown since then. There is still an edge to the military. There is still a forcefulness there, but it is done now in a way of the energy is still the same. The words have changed. And they have found that people are responding better, that we're getting stronger soldiers from this. We're getting soldiers that not only do we that come out of their service with better mental health, but they're doing better work. They're actually more engaged with their drill sergeants in these things. As it turns out that I think a lot of us, and Craig touched on this, that a lot of us have realized for a long time, nobody has ever grown from negative feedback. Nobody is motivated by negative feedback. And doing that is... you find out where a person really, what they stand on. If they come to you with this issue and this problem, is the issue really the problem or do they just want to bark? If they just want to bark, that's one thing. But you can tell if they care when the tone that they have, the way they're approaching the conversation, and the way that they are listening, they are engaging with this. I don't think anybody has an issue with questions being raised or anybody or accountability. Nobody's going to say accountability is wrong. Nobody's saying that. But where are you really coming from? We've talked about this with politicians before. Are you in it for the 15 seconds of fame, or are you in it because you care about your community and your constituents? You can tell. The American people can tell the difference of these things. And it's not different on a local level when it comes to our schools, when it comes to, you know, people in your position, positions, guys, and students and people out there. They have questions. That's fine. But it's how you approach the conversation. And all of this comes back to what all of our jobs are. Well, certainly your guys' jobs, but my job, any of you out there listening, it's setting things up for the next generations. It ain't about us. We plant trees for these guys, not us to see them grow. All of this is setting them up so that they can succeed and hopefully we can retire and maybe play pickleball, I guess. I don't know, whatever the big thing is by the time I can retire or whatever. It's all setting that up. So when you're doing this, when you have questions, when you have concerns, that's cool. That's fine. Just how are you handling it? Because kids are watching. And do we want a generation of kids growing up that only bark? They're not really asking questions, they're just barking? Or do we want questions, do we want kids to grow up the way that we did, the way a lot of people did, where questions are cool, but how the class and the tact and the tone that you approach with them are just as important as the words that you are saying?
Absolutely.
Appreciate the time, guys. Thank you so much. I did want to mention real quickly that the fourth and fifth year old kindergarten registration is open. Put that out there. And of course, if you have any follow-up questions, you want to know more, Craig, we send them to the website.
Yeah, well, in 715-424-6700 is the district number, and then you get the menu, you know, virtual menu, whatever it is. Or the website, WRPS.org, yes.
Encourage you to do that. And thank you both, not only for what you do in our community, but putting up with me and my silly questions. Appreciate the time, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 63. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers likely. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 90, a blend of clouds and sun. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 63. Cloudy skies expected.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 90.
Welcome back to Midday Magazine for this June 6th, 2023. We are speaking with some of our friends from the South Oconee YMCA. A big thank you again to Tri-City Services sponsoring this segment. Matt Lund, CEO with your South Oconee YMCA, is with us right now. Matt and I have been talking about a handful of things, and one of the things I wanted to get into was new equipment at our Wisconsin Rapids location. Wanted to touch on that a little bit with you.
Yeah, we actually just yesterday had it installed. We want to make sure that every few years we continue to update. And again, going back to the number of members that are coming into our facility, when you have 10,000 members, there is really not a time that that equipment is not being utilized. And so we want to make sure that we keep up to date with the cardio and the strength equipment. And stay relevant to how people come in and train and stay fit. Yes, we have other facilities. We need to continue to update there as well. But this one definitely gets the most usage when you have a few thousand a day that continue to enter the facility. So we just did, again, install. And we work with Matrix. So it's Matrix equipment. And the new equipment is beautiful. And so we have everything you can probably possibly want and desire to come in and work out and hit every single muscle in your body. Yeah. We have great staff that are constantly walking the floor. If you come in and you're interested in a membership or your current member and you want to get a consultation on how to use the equipment, we're more than happy to help you.